Hello and welcome to the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. My name is Kyle Case, and I'll be your host on this amazing journey as we attempt to help you get the most out of your life. We love to talk about active aging and all of its aspects on this show, so today I want to touch on one of those aspects, and that is resting heart rate. I found an article on Business Insider written by Gabby Landsverk. It's called "Your Resting Heart Rate is a Key Sign of Fitness and Longevity. Improve it with two types of workouts." And it kind of caught my eye, and I thought I'd share it with you today. Resting heart rate can be a good sign of overall fitness, heart health, as well as longevity. A lower resting heart rate indicates your heart is stronger and more efficient, and you can actually improve your resting heart rate over time with a mix of high-intensity exercise as well as light cardio. A strong, healthy heart isn't just about keeping up during exercise. Measuring how well your heart works at rest is just as important for unlocking a longer life and better fitness. So a couple of things to keep in mind there. Your resting heart rate, which is actually defined as how many times your heart beats per minute while you're calm and sitting or lying down, can be a helpful sign of overall health and fitness, according to Dr. Ido Paz, who is a cardiologist at White Plains Hospital. One of the great things about your resting heart rate is that you don't need to go into a lab to track it accurately. You can actually monitor that all by yourself. So why should we care about a resting heart rate? Well, when it comes to a resting heart rate, a lower number is better for health and fitness. This is according to Mike Thompson, who's a personal trainer and run coach at Lifetime Overland Park. Anywhere from 60 to 100 beats per minute is typically considered a normal resting heart rate. That's according to Dr. Paz. Some athletes, especially in endurance sports, can have a resting heart rate as low as 40 beats per minute, which is just incredible. Your resting heart rate can be influenced by daily factors like how well you slept, whether you're stressed, or if you're hydrated or not. So we're not looking for that single measurement of your resting heart rate. What we're looking for is how it changes over time. And if your resting heart rate is trending down over time, that's a good indicator that you're becoming more and more fit. So how do you go about improving your resting heart rate? Well, it turns out that your heart is actually a muscle. So just like your biceps or your quads, you can exercise to make it stronger and more efficient. And as you strengthen your heart, it can operate more efficiently, which means it doesn't need to work as hard to keep you functioning. Both high-intensity and low-intensity workouts benefit your heart, so a mix of both is a good bet. And personal trainer Thompson says he treats exercise like investing in better health by diversifying his fitness portfolio. He likes to spend about 80% of his time exercising at a steady, easy pace, and then the remaining 20% doing high-intensity exercise. To keep things simple, he says, do a lot of easy effort cardio where you can have a conversation while doing it. I'd also recommend training 1 to 2 times a week with high intensity where you can get extremely out of breath. So for the high intensity workouts and recommendations, Thomas does have some ideas. It's worth noting that you should always consult your primary care physician before you start any exercise program. But Thompson suggests for the high intensity that you might try 4 rounds of 5 minutes of hard cardio with 3 minutes of rest in between, or sprinting or running uphill for 30 seconds, resting for 90 seconds, and then repeating for 10 to 15 rounds, which sounds like a pretty miserable workout to me, if I'm going to be honest. Now, he also notes that while sprinting is great for high intensity, too much can lead to injury, so mixing it up with other heart-pumping exercises like a sled push or a pull, a ski erg machine, a salt bike, or a rower might be a good idea as well. And then he says, depending on your fitness level, examples of low-intensity workouts might include things like a 45-minute to an hour brisk walk or maybe a light jog. He also recommends that maybe 45 minutes of biking at a steady conversational pace could be good, or 30 minutes of walking with a moderate resistance such as hiking or rucking with a weighted pack. And a combination of these types of workouts can strengthen your heart, which is what we are all about. So keep that in mind. Today's guest is one of our incredible sport directors. Jason Renoa, along with his wife Heather, are our cycling and triathlon directors for the Huntsman World Senior Games. Jason and Heather coach a nonprofit junior development cycling team based out of St. George, Utah. This team helps develop the future for American talent. Jason and Heather also run and they also time as well as run cycling races at the highest level throughout the West Coast. Both are Army veterans and served with distinction in the mighty 82nd Airborne Division as paratroopers. And Jason and Heather have coached and mentored many top athletes, to include national and world champions. And we're excited to have Jason joining us today. Now, Heather was going to come, but she had a kind of an important life event come up, right?
Absolutely, Kyle. It's great to be here, and Heather wishes she was here as well. As a matter of fact, she just called me on the way out here. Probably about 2 hours ago, we had our fourth grandbaby.
Congratulations.
So it's amazing. And so she's out in Tennessee, Columbia, Tennessee, helping out my daughter.
Where she should be, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's super exciting. Once again, congratulations. I do want to jump into the cycling aspect just a little bit if we can. So tell me, Jason, how did you get involved in cycling? What was kind of your impetus?
Well, I grew up BMXing like every other kid in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. I remember those good old days.
Just going around the neighborhood, you know, 10 hours later, you're tired and you're outside and you're drinking from the garden hose and you're riding your bike around town.
That's the way it used to be, right? So how did you go from just riding around for fun and BMXing into kind of the more competitive world of actually cycling?
Well, I was stationed mostly out in North Carolina at Fort Bragg, which is now Fort Liberty. And I mountain biked kind of in the early days before there was really any suspension and different things going on in the biking industry. And it kind of translated into a lifestyle of just liking cycling. But it wasn't primary. It wasn't until I moved out to Southern California where my wife, Heather, she became a professional mountain biker.
Okay.
One of the tops in the nation.
In the nation and consequently the world.
Absolutely. She was a top fiver. And so I chased her around, became her mechanic and her nutritionist and did all that stuff. And somewhere along the way, I was looking at the races and I was like, you know, I think I can do a better job.
Okay.
And so I started putting on mountain bike races and cycling races. And here we are almost 30 years later, and we're still putting on races and putting smiles on faces.
I love it. I love it. And I mean, certainly here at the Huntsman World Senior Games, we are beneficiaries of that 30 plus years of experience. So we're excited to have you on the team. And I have loved working with you and look forward to continuing to work with you. I do want to make a note of this. I did not realize that the two of you together had served in the Army. So I think that's awesome. And thank you for your service.
Oh, absolutely. We appreciate that as well. Yeah, folks always, they really never know Heather was in the service too. Usually they kind of ask and they find out I'm in the service. But Heather was about as G.I. Jane as you can get. You know, at that time, she was jumping out of airplanes, jumping out of helicopters. She was a parachute rigger, which that's somebody who packs all the chutes.
Yeah, that's an important job.
I tell you what, I always check the log to see if her name was on there.
Absolutely. I don't blame you at all. She's amazing. So I'm sure that you felt she could take good care of you.
Absolutely.
Well, again, thank you for your service. I think that's wonderful and that you were able to do it together. Is that where you met or did you know each other before? Or?
We met in North Carolina. Her roommate was one of my Joes who I took care of. And so I met her through her. And I was a little resistant at first about dating a military girl.
A military girl.
But one day she held my hand, smiled in my direction, and there you go. 27 years later, we're still at it.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. You talked about kind of being a resource to her as she was doing her mountain biking things. I know that you've got a lot of experience of coaching. You've got some experience as a competitor yourself. Which do you prefer? Do you like to be the one out there racing? Do you like to be the one coaching? Or do you like to be the one kind of in charge and running the whole thing?
That's a great question. You know, I like it all. I like certain aspects of each. I still race, and I do it mainly to stay in shape. So, you know, I'm only, 5 foot something, so I got to be careful I'm not 5 foot wide.
Right.
So definitely racing and training. I love that, and it keeps me in touch with everybody and in touch with the racers to know what they like. Being a promoter and directing races is amazing. I've been at the highest level where we've seen, world champions winning, and being a part of that is pretty surreal. You know, speaking of that, 2028, we got the Olympics coming up. This year, I'm pretty much helping the Pan American Games, which has been the first time in over 30 years on U.S. soil, coming up in May. And So I love that aspect.
That's in Cleveland, right?
No, that's right here in Soldier Hollow, up in Midway.
Oh, in Midway here in Utah. Okay. Okay, so the Pan American Masters Games is actually coming up here for the first time in the United States, for at least for a long time as well. That's a multi-sport event, but you're talking about the mountain biking aspect.
Absolutely.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's fun. I was working with the Pan American folks, and it's just neat to see the evolution and then see it come back to the United States.
Yeah,
and
cool.
To be a part of it, you know, and that's why 2028, the Olympics are in L.A., and how cool is that going to be? We're putting the bid in to see if we can help run that as well.
And awesome.
In that, back to your question, it kind of goes by the coaching and being an athlete and then being a promoter. The older you get, the more you can vicariously live through all the fast people.
you kind of have to, right? At some point, you got to start to live a little bit vicariously. But you're a ways from that. You're still out there getting it done.
I really enjoy racing, and I think, yeah, especially for men, being a coach at the highest level, one thing I find is, as a guy, it really helps to have goals and things to work towards, you know, and I do. I have a 78-year-old guy that I train. He's a 13-time national champion, four-time wow. world champion. You know, I got several others, and I got ladies. I got some senior ladies that I work with, and guys and girls are a little different, you know. Yeah. Women, they can work out every day, all day, and just do it for the fact of working out. But guys would rather sit and eat Doritos and drink Coke. And if they don't have a goal, it makes it tough.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk a little bit more about the coaching. I want to talk about this nonprofit cycling team that you coach. This is for youth. You talked about some of the seniors and masters that you work with, but the nonprofit aspect is for youth. Is that right?
Absolutely. So we run an organization called Excel Cycling, which my co-manager, Brandon Price, and his wife, Bethany, we all run together. What happened was when I first moved to St. George about 4.5, almost 5 years ago, I was pretty much just getting out of the whole coaching, promoting game and this and that. And
then, ready to take a little break.
Ready to take a long break and not do that anymore. But the local populace, Utah in general, is very raw when it comes to competitive cycling. And even though they hold some of the largest, you know, most challenging races in the world.
Yeah, the landscape lends itself very well to a mountain biking course.
Absolutely. It's they just don't have a development process for the young kids. And so I fell into that because I started coaching some of the young kids. And 10 seconds later, we had a team. And now we're traveling around the world and we're developing world and national champions, mostly based here in Utah.
That is awesome. I love that. And as you said, the development process is it's so necessary, but it's also so satisfying, right? You get a chance to watch somebody start out as a beginner and then develop into something that is really different than what they started out as. That's one of the best things about coaching.
I tell you, one of the young girls that I had a chance to mentor and work with probably about 12 years ago in the Southern California High School League last year won her first World Cup.
Wow.
On the world stage. And she's going to be probably heading to the Olympics this year. We still haven't verified her slot. But I will tell you, when I was sitting at home watching TV at 2 o'clock in the morning as she was racing in Maribor, Spain, last year, and she turned the last corner, and there she was.
Yeah.
You talk about the stutter.
Emotional, yeah.
Oh, tear in my eye. I got up. I'm the only one, you know, up. My wife is sleeping, and I was screaming at the top of my lungs, and it was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is something really special about that coach-athlete kind of relationship. And whether they're youth or seniors, you can still make that connection. And that connection can be like life-altering, but also a lifelong relationship.
Absolutely. And I approach it a little different than some other coaches. I approach it from the standpoint that I'm always learning.
Yeah.
I don't know as much about Kyle as Kyle knows about Kyle. So it's my job to learn about you and give you a second set of eyes and then use the experience I have and we can apply it together as a team. Versus being just directive and saying, hey, go out and do this, do that, and do this. Let's figure out the puzzle together. And when you do that, you kind of unlock that special bond between athlete and coach. And I have so many great memories and just an They're not all great. Yeah. You know, sometimes
it can be hard too. It can be heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking, absolutely. But it's all part of the process.
Yeah. So you talked about one of your former students from California. Tell us another story about somebody that you've worked with that has kind of exceeded your expectations or at least met them.
Well, I was mentioning earlier about one of my seniors, my guy, he's 76 this year. He only became an elite athlete at about 50.
Okay.
So he was an athletic director at the local high schools in Southern California for many, many years. So he's been on the
coaching. He's been around sports. Yeah.
Absolutely. He's been coaching some of the best. And him and I traveled together. I loved him. He was like a great friend of mine. And we traveled together. And through the process of traveling, he started winning. And we went to the world championships. And for the first year, he took second place in the World Master Championships, and he's up there. And so for first, second, third, individually, they play the national anthem for you.
Okay.
And you talk about turning the fire hydrant in your head on. That was one of those times where they did that, and they played the national anthem. And I saw him up there, and it was an amazing. It's when you're watching the Olympics, and then you suddenly see them crying on stage, this big, burly, powerlifting guy that's doing this.
It's emotional.
It was incredible.
Yeah, really, really cool. I do want to talk about the Huntsman World Senior Games. We'd be remiss if we didn't at least mention it, right? How did you get introduced to the games?
So my partner, Brandon Price, a local guy here, he was a big wig at USA Cycling, which is the sanctioning body for cycling in the States. His wife was also my realtor, and so she happened to know I was
okay.
here.
Yeah.
And Brandon said, "Hey, these guys need some help. They want to do this, they want to do that. What do you think?" And I said, "Absolutely not."
I came here to retire, right?
And he said, "I think we can have a lot of fun here." And one thing led to another, and I met all you guys, and I tell you, I've been a part of foundations and federations around the world, and the most passionate people that I've ever met in an organization is the Huntsman World Senior Games staff. Like between you and Rosie and Derek, and I mean, it's been such a journey to watch you guys, you know, try to bring world-class events and activities. I mean, from pickleball to shooting, and it's not easy.
That's
I tell you, last year was such a challenging year, but you know what? Nobody outside of the staff or the directors knew how challenging that year was how much work from 4 in the morning till 10 at night.
That was the short day, right?
Exactly. When it wasn't raining. It's incredible. So my journey with Huntsman it's been pretty awesome. I appreciate you guys on the staff, and that's something that's different too. I've never really coached or put on races specifically for seniors.
Yeah.
And that's what really keeps me coming back is it's so inspirational. So I'm 54, and to see these people coming out year
in their
after
80s
year,
and 90s still out there doing the thing that they love to do.
Absolutely. It is so inspiring and so amazing. And every year, the first thing that happens is I get all these hugs.
Yeah.
A couple little critiques and comments, because that comes with territory.
a little suggestion now and then, right?
Absolutely. But in general, it is so fulfilling and so passionate and dedicated. It's pretty awesome.
Well, thank you. We love working with you, and I think we're doing some good things together, and we want to keep the ball rolling forward for sure. I do want to talk just a little bit more about the event itself. Now, if you're not familiar with the world of cycling, maybe you've seen the Tour de France or at least seen the results, or you know, maybe you've heard names or whatever. Talk just a little bit about the different events that you would find within the cycling event at the Games.
Well, we do 4 road cycling events. That happens on Tuesday to Friday. So we start with the most iconic, which is the hill climb, which is in Snow Canyon State Park. And if you've never been to Snow Canyon, it's like a mini Zion.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is amazing. So we go from the bottom to the top. We time you from the bottom to the top. And then, of course, whoever does it the fastest in each category wins.
Yeah.
Kind of how we judge the week. Wednesday, we do the criterium, which you do a lot of circles and laps around about a mile course, which is right downtown in St. George, right around the convention center. We just started doing that a couple years ago, and it's an amazing venue. It's like four corners, and then you're back, and you're racing at the highest level for a short time, 20 minutes. And that is an awesome high-energy event. Thursday, we get into our time trial. The time trial is just like the Tuesday event. You go from point A to point B for the fastest time available. This year, we're actually going to be opening that up in a brand new place. We're going to be up in Enterprise.
Okay.
We wanted to get off of the 7 Highway. We wanted to make it a little bit more personal and get some more scenery and use a different part of the county. So we decided to go up to Enterprise. I talked to Mayor Humphreys, and he's like, hey, I'm all in.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. So we're going to go from the town of Enterprise to Enterprise Reservoir. It's about 12 miles, 6 miles out, 6 miles back at the park there in Enterprise. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then the final road event that we do is on Friday. That is the road race. And we are going back this year to Leeds. So Leeds is right there north of St. George up by Hurricane and Tocqueville. And basically, we do a lollipop. So we go out and back and make a circle around one of the most beautiful little circuits around our area. It ends up at Quail Creek
Reservoir. Park, yeah,
absolutely. So that'll be the road race. You'll take off as a group, and then it'll be strategy, and you'll do a certain amount of laps. Usually, it'll take you about an hour and a half to anywhere up to 2.5 to 3 hours, depending on what age group and what ability group you're
in. And what are the distances for the road race? Off the top of your head, maybe I'm putting you on the spot.
No, it's going to be about 35K to 50K.
Okay.
Depending the category ones, the more advanced folks. Last year,
the longer race.
They complained to me a little bit that they wanted to run a little bit longer. Yeah. So we're going to add another lap to them. We've added a few categories into that longer lap race too. And then the Cat 2s and below are basically going to be doing two laps. So they're going to be right around that 35K. And it's a loop. But it's like a lollipop.
Yeah, yeah.
So it works out really well. And the town of Leeds have been amazing.
Great support.
They have. I love it. That's part of the thing I love is we're trying to spread around Washington County.
Yeah.
Which takes
the pressure off of some of the traffic. And it also gives our cyclists a new view and they can see something new and exciting while they're here competing for the games. Now, we've only got about a couple of minutes left, but we've talked most of our time about cycling, and that's really where a lot of your expertise comes from. But we kind of roped you into helping us out with our triathlon as well. Like I said, a minute and a half, but talk a little bit about the triathlon.
All right. Bottom line for the podcasters, I know they want to hear this. We're in a brand new spot this year. We are at Quail Creek Reservoir right there at the state park. Last year we were at Gunlock. They thought it was a little cold. We're moving them over to Quail Creek. I think it's still going to be cold, but it is what it is.
You never know. I mean, October can be a little warm around here, or it can be chilly. I did your triathlon last year unofficially. I wasn't old enough. I just was out on the course, and it was a little bit chilly. I'm not going to lie, but it was also just a great venue and a great event altogether. But we're going to go to Quail this year.
We got a great course lined up. It's going to be a little bit of a circuit. You guys are going to love it. The run's going to be easy. Not really, neither is the bike, but it's going to be amazing. And you'll be swimming open water around some buoys, just like last year. Last year we had almost 25 swift water rescue from the county out with us, making everything safe. It was an amazing event, and I'm expecting nothing less this year. The triathlon will be off the hook, and we get to use a different place. So you get to swim in a different place. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I agree. Let me just say one more time, Jason, how much we appreciate working with you and the talent and the expertise that you bring. And we're so excited. We're just at the beginning of registrations. Definitely have room in all of these events, the cycling events. You talked about mountain biking. We've got mountain biking as well. We've got the triathlon, and then just 37 different sports to choose from. There's lots of options. So come and be a part of that. Jason, thank you for joining us today, and thanks for all that you do.
Kyle, we appreciate you guys. We appreciate all the athletes. I hope to see all those smiling faces, and Heather and I are open for all the hugs, you guys.
I love it. We love it so much. Hey, just a quick reminder, individual athlete registration is actually open. In fact, we opened a few weeks ago, and just a few weeks into it, we have well over 2,500 people registered. So we're right on track where we want to be. many of our individual sports do fill up rather quickly. So, in fact, bowling is already closed, but everything else is still open. Don't delay, though. Get yourself registered quickly for the 2024 Huntsman World Senior Games. Everything you need to know about registration, dates, rules, all that stuff is available at seniorgames.net. Our guest next week is senior pageant queen Shelly Gish. Shelly will share with us some of her stories of why staying healthy is so important to her and why she enjoys pageantry. Remember to tune in live next, as well as every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time on AM 1450 or FM 93.1 for the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. We take this live show and we turn it into a podcast, and you can subscribe anywhere that you find your favorite podcasts. If you happen to be listening by podcast, take a moment and give us a rating, write a quick review. It helps us spread the word. And then again, you can find this and previous shows right on our website. That website is once again seniorgames.net, so check that out. Today's inspirational thought comes from Stanley McChrystal, who is a retired U.S. four-star Army general, and I love this one. He says, "Leaders can let you fail and yet not let you be a failure." Until next Thursday, stay active.